Good morning.
Good morning.
Please take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Thank you, Brother Junior. In this Sunday school class here, we'll be looking at the ninth commandment now. Thou shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's Exodus 20, verse 16, the ninth commandment. Saying thou shalt not lie. Amen. This commandment could be one that's probably broken more often than others, seeing it has to do with our speech. And that's our speech is how we can effectively communicate one with another. We can interact one with another. And God would regulate our speech, not only physically with our teeth and our lips, but morally with this commandment. And so it's a very serious matter with God, or it would not be listed in what we say is right. the top 10, amen? The top 10, God listed lying. I heard it once say that about the tongue in our speech, that God has kind of jailed it in with these 21 plus bars of ivory. Whoops. We'll continue on here. So, if only man could see it as God sees it. But what we understand is he not only sees it, but he hears it. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139. We're going to be moving around in the scriptures a little bit as we build this doctrine here concerning bearing false witness and lying. Again, it's not anything that's going to take us by great surprise. We know what lying is. We know how to lie.
Yes.
We know how to lie very good the older we get. Psalm 139, this is what God says in the scriptures, verse 4. David speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, he says in verse 4, Psalm 139, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." God knows, amen. What's interesting is whether we say it or not, God knows when we think it. Jesus said concerning the Pharisees, "Why think ye evil in your hearts?" And so we must realize that we're going to have to give an account. The Bible says in Matthew 12:36, Jesus speaking, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall say," or that men shall speak, I'm sorry, "they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." We're going to give an account for what we say. Luke 12 and verse 3, "What was spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." And this passage here in Psalm 139 kind of deals with that. No matter where I am or where I go, what I say, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, God knows. Just because we turn the lights off, just because we close the door, just because we think we're in secret, he hears all, sees all, knows all. Amen? That's our God. And we should appreciate that about our God.
Yes,
because he's not conceived or concocted in our own imagination. He's so much higher than us. And his ways are past finding out, the Bible says. That's the God I serve. Amen?
Amen.
He knows all the hairs on my head and they're numbered. God hates this sin of lying. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. So as we look at these verses, We're seeing how God feels about this particular sin. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate." He hates this sin.
Yes,
we do serve a God that hates some things. In his great love for mankind and in his righteousness, he hates. What does he hate? Well, these things are things that we should also hate, being Christians. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue. There it is.
Right.
A lying tongue. It's an abomination to him. Look in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. By the way, we didn't have to finish those verses there, but it deals with other things that God hates.
That's right.
But we're trying to focus and hunker down on just one right now, and that's lying. Proverbs 12 and verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. It makes him sick. When something's an abomination, it makes you sick. God hates this sin. It's an abomination to him. Why? Because falsehood is totally contrary to the nature of God. It's diametrically opposed to who he is. We serve a God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. He is true. He is the Lord God of truth, Psalm 31, verse 5. His word is true, John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We know that God is a God that cannot lie, it says in the book of Titus. We serve the spirit of truth, 1 John 4, 6. And so everything about lying is completely and utterly opposed to who our God is. Amen. Lying, deceit, falsehood, they come from the devil.
Yes.
Jesus said that he is the father of it in John 8:44. What does that verse say? We quote it sometimes, but let me read it to you real quick. You don't have to turn there, but I can read it because I'm here. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Yes.
So when we are lying, we are imitating the father of lies, the devil. Ananias and Sapphira over in Acts 5 and verse 3, when they lied, it said, Acts 5, verse 3, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? It's something that Satan does. Do I want to be doing things that the devil does? No. This sin, we know not only it's of the devil, but it comes from our wicked and evil hearts. Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Turn to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew 15. As we build more upon this doctrine here, Matthew 15. By the way, Jesus also says in another place, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when we're speaking lies and when we're deceiving, it's coming from our heart. When we're speaking truth and doing right and good, it's coming from our heart. Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19. With Jesus, verse 17. Do not yet ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. Okay, that's not defiling the man, is what he's going to say. Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Is that not interesting that some of the things he says is coming out of the heart are those things that God is trying to control? God has rules, as we say, concerning them. He has some principles that he wants us to follow. You see, much damage is done with this little member in our mouth called the tongue. How great a fire it can kindleth. Just a little matter. Just this little member. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Turn to James chapter 3. James 3. We're building because we're going somewhere, amen? But we're laying down this groundwork and we're looking at these scriptures as the Bible tells us to do, to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. James 3, verses 5 through 10. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. These are strong words. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of the God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. How much power do we hold in our tongue? You know, we used to say that little kids rhyme, sticks and words never hurt me. No, words hurt more than sticks and stones. Because those sticks and stones, you may break your bone, but it will mend and it will heal over time. But words cut to the very core of who we are. And they're scars that never go away. You could probably stop and think to yourself, you remember something that somebody said to you. It might have been yesterday. It might have been a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. It might have been 10 years ago. It might have been 30, 40 years ago. That word cut, did it not?
Yes.
We have power to bless God with our tongue and offer the sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips. To him. Or we can curse man with it. We can deceive man with it. We can hurt man with it. Whom we are to love as how? Ourself. So we lay this groundwork so we can look at the principle behind this commandment and get a general teaching concerning it. And so I do understand for the most part I'm talking to professing Christians. You say you've been born again. You might not necessarily be accused of false witness, uttering lies purposely. But I would not put it past us this morning to not be guilty of breaking the broader principle of this commandment. Because again, remember, Jesus wants us to understand the spirit behind the law. Because we already saw as we looked at thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, concerning those principles, how Jesus took it further, said, listen, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed it in your heart, adultery. If you have anger in your heart towards your brother, you've committed murder.
Yes.
And so it's not just committing the word, the act of lying, because it encompasses a whole great deal. And we'll see that as we bring this out. And so we may be guilty of breaking the broader principle of this. And so if we are, let's learn to hem it in and get a little more morality to our life and set some more boundaries in our life and have an understanding so that we can honor God, amen, and please God with our life. You see, the older that we get, the more refined we are when it comes to sinning, especially lying. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies right from the womb. So if I'm speaking lies right from the womb, give me 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, I've learned how to lie pretty well. I've learned how to be deceitful pretty well. From our earliest years, we have used deceit and we have lied. Now, as we get older, we tell maybe white lies or those that won't hurt anybody. It's just a little white lie, but it's a lie.
Right.
Or we may stretch the truth a little bit. Well, if we're stretching the truth, then it's not the truth. Well, it's about 99.9% true. Well, it's not true then, if it's not 100%. Why do we do this? Why do we feel compelled that we have to do these things, to lie, to be deceitful? Well, We lie to get what we want or to get rid of something we don't want. Is that not the truth? Oh, the truth. It's true that we do these things when we lie. We lie to cover other lies. And it just keeps growing and growing, and it gets worse and worse. And sooner or later, our sin will find us out because we're going to stumble upon one of our lies. We tell lies out of fear of consequences. And this is something in child training. If you just tell the truth, you know, you might not end up with a more severe consequence than trying to lie to get out of, because you're fearing the consequence. We tell lies oftentimes to belong. We want to feel accepted. We want to feel like we know something, and we want to be a part of something, and so we may lie so we can feel that way. However and why ever we do these things, it's lying and it's sin. It's wrong. We're in violation of the 9th commandment, and we will be found guilty on the day of judgment. And if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all, the Bible says. What about gossip? Is gossip lying? Is gossip stretching the truth? Gossip in the Bible goes under other names at times, talebearer or whisperer. But let's look at just a couple verses here real quick, and then we'll make another point. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Gossip, that's when you got some information about somebody and you want to share it with somebody else. And why do we do that? Because we want to feel like we're somebody. We know something that you don't know. And I want to be able to be the one to tell you what I know about this other person. And it may be hurtful to this other person for them to know that I know, or that this other person would know. And we all know gossip. Did you hear about this? Or have you heard? Oftentimes it comes from our own pride. Like, I have this knowledge that you don't have about somebody else, and I want to tell you, so you'll think, wow, you know a lot. What's the purpose of that? By the way, gossip. Amen. Do you hear the snake in there? Gossip. It's lying. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know, if somebody comes to you and tells you something and they specifically say, please don't share this with somebody else, they're trusting you. Don't violate their trust. Be faithful, the Bible said. What about, let's go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. By the way, so we're sharing these verses here because it's opening up this principle a little broader, and it's showing some other names that lying is considered and gossip. Proverbs 16 and verse 28, the Bible says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Somebody that's always whispering, always wanting to tell the secrets and to tell the gossip. Don't do it. Stay away from it. By the way, wait a second. Listen, if somebody thinks they can come to you and gossip to you, what does that say about your own personal character? Oh, yeah, tell me. What do you know? What kind of person am I? Maybe I need to cut that off right from the start. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They hurt. They go down. It goes deep. Whether you're telling somebody, you're whispering to them in secret, whether you're calling them on the phone and telling them, whether you're writing them a note or whatever it may be, listen, stay away from gossip. Gossip is wrong. Gossip should not be done. What about slander? Gossip is one thing. Slander is even more severe because it's gossip with intent to injure another's character or reputation. When you're talking bad about somebody else, you're wanting to rise on the ruin of another. Why do we do that? Because it comes from envy. You see how evil we can be at times? You see how these sins can be in us? Slander. When you purposely say something wrong about somebody else, don't do it. Just don't do it. False reports, fabricated statements, defamation of character. Why would we do this? Now, again, for the most part, we probably won't take part in this, but we could. They called Jesus a wine bibber. But we know he wasn't. Jeremiah says that we can smite with our tongue and we can injure somebody else. Turn with me to Psalm 50, please. Psalm 50. Do we really want to take part in ruining another's reputation, a man's good name? No. But you know what? God sees and God hears, and vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 19 and 20. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. What was the saying? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Amen? I mean, these are principles that we learn very young. Where do we get these moral principles from? Well, they come from the Scriptures. Amen? That's why we try to follow these things. We don't want to be a slanderer. We don't want to be a gossiper. We don't want to be labeled a liar, because what is the consequences of all this? No one's going to trust you. You're going to be labeled a liar. You don't want that label. And you're not going to be able to escape the condemnation from lying, because God makes it sure in His Word. The Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire. Revelation 21 and verse 8. The Bible says in Psalm 15, 1 and 2, that heaven is not your home. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Let's speak truth. Let's be known as individuals that are honest in our dealings. We're not going to lie. We're not going to be deceitful. We're not going to stretch the truth. We're not going to try to bolster ourselves and think that we're somebody because we know some things and we're going to gossip about somebody else or spread lies or rumors about things. Let's be truthful, amen? Let's be truthful. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Just don't do it. Just don't lie. So what's the caution to all of this? Well, if you speak, speak the truth. Amen. Turn with me to James chapter 1. What does the Bible have to say here? Sometimes it's best if we just keep our mouth shut. Amen. I mean, and that's saying it nicely. Amen. That's, instead of saying shut up, you know, just keep your mouth shut. Because when you open it, the Bible even says, in much words there wanteth not sin. Meaning, the more that you speak, the more likely it is that you're probably going to end up sinning. Because something's going to come from the heart, because our words come from where? They come from our heart. And our heart is deceitful, the Bible says. And so listen, God's given us these teeth. He's given us these lips. Keep your mouth shut. He's given us His Word, which can be like a can subdue our speech and help us to know what to say and when to say it and why we're going to say it so that we don't speak falsehood. By the way, that's Proverbs 10:19 if you're taking notes. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But what does it say in James 1 in verse 19? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen. God's given us two ears and one mouth.
Yes.
We need to listen more than we speak.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, how does a fool show himself a fool? He opens his mouth. That's all he has to do is open his mouth. And you know, man, this guy's a fool. Or man, this guy's lying. What do they say? He's lying right through his teeth. His teeth can't even hold his lies back. Just speak the truth. And when you have to, just keep your mouth shut. If you know something about somebody else, and so there's a conversation going on, and your pride wants to boast yourself up because you have information about somebody, and you just want to just keep your mouth shut. It's not going to help the cause. Ephesians 4. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of the mouth. Let's keep it clean. Amen. And if it's clean, it's probably truth. If it's dirty, it's probably a lie. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If what I am about to say to you is not going to help you, then why should I even say it? Why should I even speak it? Why should I just start with idle words? A worthy walk includes a worthy talk, amen. And what does it say here in Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians 4, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now look down just a little further in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. So if I want to walk worthy, I must talk worthy. And that means there should be no lying, no deceit, no slander, no gossip, no idle words. The wise man is the one that's a few words. Why are the Proverbs so powerful? Because they're maxims. They're just short little words or short little phrases. And they pack power, amen? By the way, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do I want others talking about me? Do I want others gossiping about me? Do I want somebody else lying to me? Deceiving me? No. Well, then I shouldn't do it to somebody else. What does it say in Proverbs 13? Sorry, we moved out of Proverbs already. We'll go back there real quick. Proverbs 13. So what are we're learning now how to keep ourselves from this. We're trying to set some boundaries up in our life, morally speaking, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, to let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth, to keep it worthy talk, amen, right talk, clean talk, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Proverbs 13, verse 5, what does it say? A righteous man hateth lying. Hateth lying. Just like his Lord hates lying. Remember, we already saw in Proverbs 6, a lying tongue. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. The second one was a lying tongue. What does it say here? A righteous man hateth lying. Listen, we should have nothing to do with lying. And it should be corrected immediately if it's found in our home, fathers, mothers, with our children. They need to know that they are not to grow up speaking lies, that it's not going to get them ahead. Yea, rather, it's going to put them down. So hate those lying lips. Have nothing to do with them. Why? Because, well, what does it say here in Proverbs 20? Turn to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Here, this gives us an idea of separating ourselves from those that are speaking lies. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. If somebody is just wanting to flatter somebody else, if somebody is just wanting to speak lies, speak deceit, speak gossip, speak great swelling words that have no substance, you're going to get in trouble if you hang around with them or if you start listening to them. Stay away from them. Speak up on your own behalf. Amen. We need to love our neighbors. We need to speak good about our neighbors. Amen. Not lying and deceit. Children in school, we have some children that may still be in school here. You got stuck in this Sunday school class this morning. I wonder why. Maybe God wanted you to hear about this morning. Listen, we need some help, amen? We need some help. So let's look at just two or three more verses and we'll close. Let's go to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. In Psalm 141, we're going to look at verse 3. Psalm 141 and verse 3. David says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. He's praying this. When was the last time we found ourselves praying, Lord, put a watch on my mouth. Help me to be careful what I say to others. I don't want to injure somebody else. I don't want to hurt somebody else with the words coming out of my mouth. I don't want to be a lying, deceiving slanderer or gossiper in other men's matters. Set a watch, Lord. Psalm 39, verse 1. Again, David, he says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. That's interesting. He's talking about his ways and where he's going to be going, and he realizes that his tongue is involved in that. That I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I'm going to be careful what I say. Listen, let's think and let's listen and let's speak less when it comes to this idea of not bearing false witness. We know what a lie is. Jeremiah said, as for our sins, we know them. We know when we're willfully, deliberately telling a lie. But what about the principles behind the commandment here about bearing false witness? Let's speak the truth in love, amen. Let's learn to keep our mouth shut when we need to. But on the contrary, or the opposite, let us know when to speak up, amen. Let us know when to speak right and speak truth. Let us know when to speak up for those that cannot speak for themselves. The innocent, the young, the injured. Let us speak up to those that are lost and dead and trespasses and sins, and let us tell them about the love found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the grace and mercy that he has to offer. There are times that we can speak, amen. And when we're speaking, we should be speaking towards that direction. And then there's times that we need to keep our mouth shut. So listen, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Are we guilty? Is there boundaries we can set in our life? Is there things that we should try to do differently as we work with our children, as we work in with our employers, as we work out in the community, ways that we can be a better Christian? Amen. Your character's on the line. Your testimony's on the line. Listen, if you're found a liar, it's hard to gain that trust back. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you can speak to us through the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that your word has found a place in our hearts and that we can meditate upon these things. Lord, that it would change us, that we could be all that you would have us to be. Father, forgive us where we have sinned against you. Forgive us where we have lied. Forgive us where we've been deceitful. Forgive us where we've stretched the truth, where we have not been honest. Lord, forgive us for not loving our neighbor as ourself and ultimately thee. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed.